Welcome to another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92. Paul Ramo here. And today we're going to travel over to Montevideo to CCM Health. And we're going to visit with Brooke Gabrielson. Brooke is infection preventionist. There, I got that out right, Brooke?
That's correct.
Thanks for joining us on the Wellness Wednesday this morning.
Thank you for having me, Paul.
Yeah. Well, you wear many, you wear multiple hats at CCM Health. Why don't you tell us all your titles, Brooke?
Sure. I am a registered nurse and a public health nurse, as well as a lactation consultant. And my roles with CCM Health, as you mentioned, are the infection preventionist. I'm also a lactation consultant, so I see women prenatally and postpartum. Up into the toddler years with their children while they're continuing to nurse. I'm also the occupational health nurse here for employees, and I'm the child care health consultant for the CCM Health Child Care Center.
Wow, okay. That's a lot.
It is a lot, especially right now in the middle of a pandemic.
Yep, that's right. Brooke, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up and schooling and stuff, and what brought you to CCM Health?
Yeah, so I actually grew up north of Montevideo over by the Big Bend area. I'm a graduate of Lac Parle Valley, and I kind of through life meandered my way towards the cities, and then I came back to be closer to home, raise my children where I enjoyed being raised, and be closer to family again.
Okay, so local girl then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, what year did you graduate from Lac Parle Valley?
99.
Okay. Yeah. My son's graduated that around that time too. So,
yep.
Okay. Anyway, well, what's the subject matter that we're going to discuss this morning, Brooke?
Well, the first thing we're going to talk about is getting back into school now that our kiddos are heading back in and a lot of them are able to get back into the school building. We're getting a lot of questions about what can we do to help keep our children safe and healthy. With COVID-19 going around and then also coming into our regular normal respiratory illnesses that we have every fall and even fall allergies. So we just really wanted to let everybody know that all facilities are open for regular business too. There was a while there in the beginning where I think people were feeling like they shouldn't seek out regular health care. But the best thing that you can do for your children is really to reach out and make sure that they're up to date on their well-child exams and their immunizations. Mm-hmm. Super important. Even, you know, we do a great job when our kiddos are younger, in their baby years when they're getting those immunizations more frequently. But I think we so often forget that they need more immunizations once they get into their teen years. And so we want to be there and support our community in making sure that they're up to date on those as well. 12-year-olds, there's an HPV vaccine for cancer prevention that's there. And then, of course, influenza season is right around the corner. And I've heard that we have actually had a couple of positive influenza cases already out here in western Minnesota.
Okay. COVID-19, what things should we remember about COVID-19 or?
Yeah, well, we're all hearing about social distancing and masking and hand washing, and we need to remember to stay home if we're sick.
Yep.
I think we're all feeling like, you know, we have to get to work and we have to make money and we have to provide for our families, but we can't do that if we run ourselves down or if we're continuing to pass germs around the community. So most important thing is first and foremost to stay home when you're sick. But then with hand washing too, we all rushed out to buy all that hand sanitizer off the shelves in the beginning. And that's great. That's good. We should be using hand sanitizer, but we also need to remember to wash with soap and water too. Mm-hmm. And there's good times when you can use the hand sanitizer and there's other times when you definitely should be using the soap and water, especially after using the restroom and before and after eating. And if your hands are visibly dirty.
Okay. People talk about the masks a lot. What is the appropriate way to wear a mask, Brooke?
Yeah, I love this one.
Okay.
I see people wearing their masks, and I'm so proud of them. And then when you get closer, you see that nose peeking out of the mask.
That's not right, right?
It's not. No. No, unfortunately, we need to remember that all viruses, respiratory viruses, they like to come in through our mucous membranes, and that's our nose, that's our mouth, and of course it's our eyes. And so if you're wearing a mask, wonderful, that's great, but make sure you keep it up above your nose too, because those virus particles can come in through the nose. As well, if you are ill before, or you're spreading the virus 48 hours before you're ill, and there is a chance that if you're sneezing, you know, and that mask is down below your nose, then it's not helping to keep those particles to yourself either. And then I've seen some with, you know, really thin neck gaiters or really thin decorative scarves that they're wearing. And so just making sure that what you're wearing is appropriate and it's going to provide you some good protection there too. And of course, not playing with the mask, because people like to play with the mask and fiddle with it, and they pull it out from their face so they can talk easier and people can hear them. But then it's not helping either, because then there's that potential contamination and spreading of germs that way.
Yeah, that's a problem with, for me, Brooke. I have a hard time not touching my mask all the time.
Yes.
not to do that.
I think we're all guilty of that. Yes, please don't be doing that, because when you're touching the mask all the time, you are potentially contaminating that mask, which is close to your face. Or then you're contaminating your hands if your mask happened to be dirty. So making sure you're not touching your mask, and when you are removing it, you're washing your hands before you're eating, or, you know, applying your chapstick or whatever you might be doing.
Okay. I see a lot of more people are wearing face shields. What about face shields, Brooke?
Yeah, so the evidence is still kind of out on those face shields. They serve a great purpose of working for eye protection, which, like I just mentioned, the eyes are a mucous membrane and the virus can come in through your eyes. So they work great to provide that protection. It's kind of unknown as to whether or not they really do a good job of source control or providing that protection, that filtration from actually acquiring the virus yourself. Some of them are too short, and so they don't come down below the chin, or maybe they're cut too close on the sides, and so they don't provide that full protection. So if you are able to wear a mask, I would really encourage you to wear a face mask instead of the face shield or the eye, you know, the eye shield.
Okay. What about gloves, Brooke? Should people be wearing gloves in public?
Well, the CDC has issued some statements about that, and really, the evidence is kind of showing that people are actually contaminating themselves more, or they're at risk of having this false sense of security, or maybe spreading the virus a little bit more by wearing gloves. I can see why they're doing it. They're wearing it to protect their own hands. But then it's kind of that same thing with touching the mask. When we're wearing the gloves, we have that false sense of security, and so we touch more things than we should, and then maybe we're not washing in between things. So it's best just honestly wear your bare hands and wash really good with hand sanitizer after you're done shopping or pumping gas or whatever you might have just gotten done doing.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about if someone's listening and they have been exposed to COVID-19, what do you do?
Stay home and give your healthcare provider a call. I know all of us facilities have set up some sort of a line where we are taking patient calls to be able to help them through the next steps. But the most important thing is to stay home. The CDC says that after exposure, you should be quarantined for 14 days. And so that means no working, going to get groceries quick, no social events. I'll get calls from patients all the time and say, well, I'm low on groceries. Can I just run really quick? And my answer is always no. You know, a lot of stores now have pickups or arranging ways of delivery, or maybe having a family member or somebody dropping things off at your doorstep. Unfortunately, like I just said, the virus can be shed from our bodies 48 hours before we know that we're sick. And so there is that chance that you might potentially contaminate somebody unknowingly. I also get asked all the time, can I just come in and get a test? And if I'm negative, then I don't have to be in quarantine anymore. And that's really not accurate either. So taking that test before symptoms is just kind of giving us that little snapshot in time of where your body's at right now. And you might not be shedding enough virus for the test to actually have a positive result. And so I believe the statement from the CDC here about 2 weeks ago says that you should wait until about 5 days. And that is much more accurate because the evidence is showing that it's usually about that 5.4 days when the average person is starting to show symptoms after they've been exposed. So if they wait at least until that long, sometimes we can get a positive result even if they don't have symptoms. But we're still going to encourage them, if it is negative, to wait out that full 14-day quarantine at home.
Okay. Brooke, I got a question here. How does one know if they've been exposed to COVID-19?
That is a great question. So I do some of the contact tracing here with some of our patients, but the majority of the contact tracing is done with the Minnesota Department of Health or our local public health, which is Countryside. And what happens is when a patient tests positive from our facility, I send the report to the Minnesota Department of Health, and they follow up with the patient. And the patients are the ones who let them know where they've been in the last 48 hours or the 48 hours before they started having symptoms. And both public health agencies will work with the patient to be able to get some contact names and numbers to be able to contact people. If it's something that I'm aware of here at a local level, I can also help to step in and let some people know as well, you know, what's been going on and that they may have been exposed.
Brooke, what is the difference between isolation and quarantine? People keep saying both of them.
Yeah, so quarantine is for a person who has been exposed to a positive COVID-19 person or patient. Quarantine means that you are not ill and you don't have symptoms, but you have simply been exposed, and so you need to be at home for those 14 days. Isolation is for somebody who is actually ill.
Okay.
And isolation begins at the date that that person starts having symptoms, and it continues for 10 days after that first symptom. And I'm asked all the time, well, how come quarantine is longer than isolation? And it simply is because the evidence is showing us that it can take up to 14 days for someone to start having symptoms of COVID-19. Some persons can have it much earlier, you know, a day or two after exposure, but we still need you to stay in quarantine that for that full period of time just so that you aren't unknowingly exposing people. With the 10-day isolation, that virus is possibly shedding 48 hours before they're first having those symptoms, and so that's why it's a little bit more shortened, and most persons are feeling much better around that 10 days.
Okay. So when does quarantine start then?
Yeah, quarantine starts at the last date of contact with a known positive person.
Oh, okay.
And that's a tricky one, especially for parents who are maybe caring for a young child and need to be taking care of that child for, you know, every single day that they're ill. So if that happens, you know, that mom or that dad could potentially be in quarantine for 24 days, you know, if they have to be in quarantine 14 days past the last date of illness for the child.
Okay. Brooke, you know, it's fall right now, and a lot of people have seasonal allergies, including myself. Talk about this a little bit. Does that mean everyone will be in isolation because of those?
Yeah, there are a couple of distinct differences between allergies and COVID, and we are, like I said, encouraging anybody who has questions about their illness to reach out to their healthcare provider. We do have a triage line here set up where the triage nurses can discuss your symptoms with you and help you try to determine exactly what's going on. But allergies typically cause that itchy, watery eye, the sneezing. And if you have allergy medication and you take it, the symptoms are likely to go away. With COVID, the allergy medication isn't going to help. Your symptoms are going to continue. Typically, they're a little bit more severe. There's fever, there's body aches, maybe there's a stomach illness that doesn't occur with with those allergies. And so that's kind of the distinct difference between the two.
All right, real good, Brooke. Well, that's a lot to figure out.
It is. And so, you know, the best thing, like I said, that you can do is you can reach out to your healthcare provider. Countryside Public Health is great at answering questions. And, of course, the Minnesota Department of Health has phone numbers, too, that you can reach out to if you need more information.
All right. And you can contact you as well, I would guess, at
Absolutely.
CCM Health. Okay.
Yep. You can give us a call, 320-269-8877.
All right. Well, Brooke, that was very informative. Thank you very much for being on Wellness Wednesday this morning.
Thank you, Paul. Have a great day.
Yep. That's Brooke Gabrielson from CCM Health, and that's been another Wellness Wednesday here on Q92.